Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here in Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I am your host, Dirt. And today we're here to take a look at Friday Night SmackDown. We're also going to take a look at WWE Superstars on WGN and also a look at the news and notes from around the wrestling world. So let's go ahead and get started with all the exciting breaking news. Okay, there you go. That's it for all the exciting news that's happening this week. Of course, you know, it's the story that just won't die is the firing of Bryan Danielson. We've talked about it so many times, it feels like. And really what it comes down to is he's fired. It's legitimate. More than likely, WWE will hire him back in the future when everything kind of settles down. For now, he's gone. It sucks. The end. So, if you want to know anything else beyond that, there really isn't anything else beyond that to say. And if you want more information about what happened, why it happened, who may have been responsible, go ahead and check out the podcast from Tuesday, the Raw Recap Show, because that's where we talked about it more in depth. So if you missed that, go back, listen to that show, check it out, because there's really nothing else to add. And in fact, as far as news goes around the wrestling world, this is really a slow week. About the only thing that we can report is that the Hart Dynasty versus the Usos is off the pay-per-view, and instead, they had the match at the Florida Championship Wrestling House Show. Ah, that is not a good sign. But the only positive may be that they are pushing for the Florida Championship Wrestling because of all the NXT guys coming up, making their way onto national television. Follow up on the NXT invasion angle at the Florida Championship Wrestling shows. Maybe they're trying to build that territory. They want to build that up like Ohio Valley once was, make it, you know, a much bigger deal where people are going to go check it out, because then maybe people will be more interested in the rookies as NXT continues. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. And that's it. That's really it for the news. Like I said, not a whole lot to talk about. Not much of anything, really, going on. So, yeah. So let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with your look at WWE Superstars on WGN America. America!
Hey everyone, this is Alan Price from Operation RetroShock, and you're listening to Wrestling Radio, the only wrestling-dedicated podcast on LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back on Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network, and here's your look at Superstars on WGN America. Really a bland show. kind of crappy overall. opened up with Kofi Kingston versus Trent Barretta. Kingston came out with his NXT rookie Michael McGillicuddy in his corner. And Trent Barretta, of course, came out with Kaelin Croft. They are the Gate Crashers. And, you know, Kofi Kingston versus Trent Barretta, if you just had to pick, if you're just going to make a guess, Kofi Kingston, Trent Barretta, you're just going to make a guess. Who's going to win? Yeah, Kofi Kingston. This match went way too long. It went over 10 minutes long. And at no point did you actually think that Trent Barretta was going to win. And in fact, the crowd at no point thought that Trent Barretta was going to win. It was pretty dead. They did have Kaelin Croft jump up on the apron at one point, try to distract Kofi, but didn't really pay off into anything. And basically, just Kofi hit the jumping clothesline, hit the boom drop, hit the trouble in paradise, got the win. You know, if anything, Kofi really hit too much to end up, you know, pinning this nobody guy. I don't know. Maybe they're going to do something with Trent Barretta and Kaelin Croft down the road. But for now, no. So let's see. We did an NXT recap. Next up, they had Yoshitatsu. We switched over to the Raw brand here with Yoshitatsu versus Primo. This match went about 4 minutes long, so there was really not a whole lot to it, which, I mean, I guess is fine with Primo, but Yoshitatsu is one of those guys that if they would let him break out, you know, he could be an enjoyable guy to watch and could probably get the crowd behind him, but they just don't really do anything with him, and I think that's a problem. He could even take, like, the old gimmick from, who's the guy, Funaki, doing the evil thing, you know? He could do that, but be the good guy. I don't know. But there just needs to be something done with Yoshitatsu, because he seems pretty wasted where he's at. Let's see. So, they go for the ring. They go for the pin where Primo ducks a rolling kick, goes for a schoolboy, grabs the tights, and gets the cheap win. So he immediately bails out of the ring, backing up the ramp, celebrating, and Great Khali's music hits. So Great Khali comes walking out. Primo runs back into the ring, and Yoshitatsu hits him with the roundhouse kick. Khali grabs him, hits the Punjabi plunge, and there you go. Do you remember maybe about 2 months ago when Great Khali and Rajan Singh came out on SmackDown, and I think Dolph Ziggler beat Khali with a sleeper, and they said, Khali's going to take some time off. Khali's going to figure out who he is. Khali is going to have to go home and think about his career, and then so he can return and become the WWE champion. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he was back, no explanation. He did a run-in on somebody. And they've never done anything about that storyline. He's nowhere even near the title. He's nothing. Just totally gave up on whatever storyline they had planned there. So now he's doing run-ins versus Primo and Yoshitatsu, I guess. Let's see. They talked about the Usos. Let's see, we got the video about Kane, we got the Raw Rebound, finally we got Mark Henry and Goldust coming down to the ring, and out comes the Usos. So the Usos' first appearance here on WGN Superstars, another 10-minute-plus match, not sure exactly, went through a commercial, but, you know, it's one of these things where Goldust and Mark Henry, technically, if you think about how long they've been with the company, how big they are, what they've accomplished in their careers versus these guys who you would think that Goldust and Mark Henry would just kind of beat them. But of course, no. Now, the Gate Crashers, if they had Goldust and Mark Henry versus the Gate Crashers, I would expect Goldust, Mark Henry to actually win that. But here, you know, the Usos just, they beat him up for a long time. Mark Henry came in. Mark Henry, they really couldn't do anything with. They couldn't stop him in any way. So Mark Henry would beat up for a little bit and then tag in Goldust, and Goldust would beat up for a little bit, but then they'd eventually reverse it on Goldust and beat up on him for a while. So eventually, They had Mark Henry and one of the Usos, I'm not sure which, fought to the outside, so the referee was checking on them. Goldust and the other dude, whatever, were still fighting through Goldust in the ropes, and Tamina, I guess is her name, grabs Goldust, so he stops, turns around, yells at her, and then turns back in the ring, gets hit with a super kick, and the Uso left in the ring, climbed up on the top rope, and did a splash, got the win. It was okay. I mean, I guess as a main event, considering the other two matches, as a main event, it was spectacular for a main event compared to those other two matches. But overall, not a great match. If you know, you're going to give them stars, you're going to say 4 stars, maybe it was a 2. You know, just not anything super spectacular or great about it. So, overall, Superstars was fine, but nothing, they didn't really do anything on this show that really played into a lot of the storylines. They didn't really do anything that seemed that great. Sometimes you get a gym, Christian will have a match with somebody, and you're like, wow, that was great. Why was this on Superstars? But on here, it felt like on this one there were too many video packages. You had over 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 18 minutes for video packages and whatever. So just all in all, not really impressed with the episode of Superstars from last night. It's a bit of a shame. All right, folks, that's going to do it for WGN Superstars. So for all of you who just wanted to stop by for the recap of that, there you go. Next up, we are going to take a look at tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. So if you don't want spoilers for tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later. For everybody else, stay tuned. I'm getting ready to – I've got SmackDown queued up here. We're getting ready to start the first segment. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we come back from commercial with your first segment of tonight's episode, Friday Night SmackDown, which is actually entitled Fired and Brimstone. Check it out. Be right back.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. As always, again, I'm your host, Dirt, and here we're taking your look at tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. So if you don't want spoilers, it's time to stop listening. For everyone else, though, show opened with CM Punk coming down solo to the ring. So, of course, my first thought is Straight Edge Society's going to make a run in, because why else wouldn't they be there with him? So walks down to the ring. Talks about Fatal 4-Way, going to be the fourth time Straight Edge champion, yada, yada, yada. He's glad Undertaker's gone. He wants to congratulate whoever did it. When they find out who did it, he's going to shake that person's hand, because WWE is better off without the Undertaker, because the Undertaker is basically a big stupid goof. And as he's saying this, the lights start to flicker. They go out. It's black for a couple seconds. Pops on. And there's the Undertaker standing in the middle of the ring. back to the camera, hat on, head down, standing there. CM Punk cowers in the corner for a second, comes over, pokes him a couple times, pushes him, and then starts laughing, and Luke Gallows pulls off the hat and wig, and it's him dressed as The Undertaker, and they do a high five, and they giggle, and they take The Undertaker's hat, CM Punk puts it on, he looks like the Amish Gimp from Pulp Fiction, takes the hat off, throws it down in the ring, goes to stomp on it, and Kane's pyro hits, his music hits, everything turns red. He starts making his way down to the ring when suddenly Jack Swagger attacks him from behind. Straight Edge Society climbs out from nowhere. I don't know. They come from backstage also? Did they come out of the crowd? Did they come out from under the ring? I didn't catch what happened because they were just like there. And so they all start beating up on Kane. They take him in the ring. They're just pounding down on him. They hold him down and let Jack Swagger do his running second rope jump splash on the Kane. He does it again. He does it a third time. Finally, Rey Mysterio comes running out. Big Show comes... Well, Big Show does not run as fast as Rey Mysterio, but he's no Mark Henry, and that's for sure. So anyway, the two of them make their way down to the ring, clear everybody out. All the heels powder out, run off, go backstage. They pick up Kane. Rey Mysterio throws him into the ropes, hits a 619, knocks Kane out. Big Show picks up Kane, hits him with a choke slam. Rey Mysterio disappears in the flash of an eye. Big Show gets down into Kane's face, says, "For the last time, I had nothing to do with the disappearance of your brother, but nothing will stop me from being WWE champion." Da-da-da! Big Show's music hits. And we go to commercial. So, opening segment, your basic setup. Again, I don't know why. Why is Kane in this? I mean, I'm guessing they're setting up so that they can do Big Show versus Kane, maybe, as a feud to follow up until Undertaker's ready to come back. I don't know. But I just don't understand why Kane has been the focal point of this Fatal 4-Way, and Kane is not in this Fatal 4-Way. So either Kane's going to take somebody out, take their place in the match at the pay-per-view, or he's going to come in and interrupt it in some way. But at least Kane wasn't trying to be the fake Diesel. At least we didn't have fake Undertaker. We didn't have Rick Bogner as the fake Razor Ramon. At least fake Undertaker was Luke Gallows, and it was only for 20 seconds. So, that's a big, trust me, that's a huge upside on the angle. All right, next segment. Wow, this show sucks. Sorry, guys. Let's see here. In order to hype the Teddy Long-Drew McIntyre match, they're doing these video clips showing Drew McIntyre's history in the WWE. They showed his debut with Vince McMahon, calling him the future world champion. They showed his loss to Kane and Teddy Long having to reverse it by order of Vince McMahon. That's what opened and closed this segment, so maybe that's why it's kind of a downer, but the part in the middle, not very good either, which is a pretty big problem considering it involves Christian and MVP. They had Christian and MVP in a tag team match versus the Gatecrashers. They had Vance Archer and Kurt Connors. I keep wanting to call him Kurt Connors because they just finished up a Lizard storyline in Amazing Spider-Man. Sorry about that. Kurt Hawkins! And Kurt Hawkins, Vance Archer, again, similar to what we talked about with Superstars. I don't know what they're planning on doing with these guys, but just having them come out and win. These guys are bland. They're not dynamic as far as promos. They're not dynamic in as far as their look. They're not dynamic in as far as their wrestling. They're just guys. They're just guys in gear coming out to wrestle. And they beat Christian and MVP. Now, I know MVP's been peed on by WWE management, and there's a lot ever since. It all goes back to when he had a big head, and he caused a problem with one of the guys in the drug test. There was a guy who had to take a urine sample, and he was a total DH to the guy, and he deserved to be de-pushed a little bit for what happened there. He's apologized for it. He's never had any problems since then. He's a great worker. He's good on the mic. He's got a good look. He's a guy who the fans cheer for. And then you have Christian. And we talked about Christian, for whatever reason, has been told he was getting a little bit of a deep push. They had him doing matches with Dolph Ziggler, and it was seen as a step up for Dolph Ziggler and a step down for Christian. And they said that's just the way it has to be for right now. And it just seemed like, okay, fine, you know, I mean, Christian came in, he was the big ECW guy. They got rid of ECW, they brought him in, they said, you know, it's going to be a while before you find your place on SmackDown. And I had high hopes for him when, you know, the first week he comes in is the last week Edge is there, and the two of them have their little face off, and yeah, this looked okay for Christian. And since then, it's been downhill. And so here he is teaming with MVP, and crowd reaction is hot. These two guys as a team is what everybody wants to see. But they're wrestling the gate crashers, and they basically just had MVP get his arm worked over for the longest time. Tagged in Christian. Christian just, you know, cleaned house, beat everybody up. Looks like he was about to hit the kill switch. They distracted the ref, double teamed on Christian, hit their finishers, and Curt Hawkins pinned Christian to win the match. So then, of course, MVP comes in. His arm's been worked over the whole time. So the two of them beat the crap out of MVP. So both guys get the crap beat out of them by the gate crashers. And it's just, If I could see some type of upward momentum with these guys, if I could see where they were going with these guys, if I could see something playing out, if there was some sort of gimmick they were working on, but it didn't, there's nothing there. There's nothing there with those two guys, the gate crashers. They bring, like, the Dude Busters are comedy relief. Like, I understand that. Are they ever going to be world tag team champions? Probably not. They might in some sort of fluke, but probably not. I don't expect them to be. I don't get excited when they're going to be on TV because I think there's going to be some great matches, but the Dude Busters are funny. And so they have that Santino relief that they bring to the table, and I'm fine with that. I with Vance Archer and Curt Hawkins, I just don't see anything. I don't see them as good heels. I don't see them as, there's just nothing. And then, of course, in this segment, there was one more gigantic turd. They had not the beautiful people. Who are they here? Lay Cool. The Fabulous and Famous, whatever. And they were backstage doing their thing. They had Caval there carrying their belts. Rosa comes up. She wants to join. And, of course, they make fun of her. They make Rosa cry. They run off. They look at Caval, tell him to turn his frown upside down. He doesn't react at all. And then they showed the other Drew McIntyre segment of overturning his loss to Kane from his second week on the show. It's just, it became so apparent. And maybe last week was the same. And I think last week maybe I was a little too kind to the show, because in general I just like SmackDown a little bit more than Raw. But Raw has the hot invasion angle, the NXT guys going on right now. There's a lot of stuff that happens on Raw that you feel like you have to watch Raw to know what happens next. SmackDown feels, this week especially, and maybe it was the same last week and I was too generous, I don't know, but just really feels like they are sitting here spinning their wheels. It's another episode because they have to have another episode. It's another week of matches because they have to have another week of matches. But there's very little on here that feels like there's any sort of storyline that is progressing. Like, there's anything that I need to be paying attention to here. And I'm only two segments into the show. Maybe it picks up some super heat later on, but they announce it's going to be Jack Swagger and CM Punk versus Big Show and Rey Mysterio in a tag team match in the main event. So the four guys in the Fatal 4-Way match having the tag team match, faces versus heels. So someone's going to turn on the other person because at Fatal 4-Way, it's every man for himself, blah, 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 blah. That's what I'm thinking going into this. And I'm hoping they pull out some sort of swerve at the end. Because if that's what they do, it's just like, oh, come on. You guys, you got to do something to revitalize. Can I get an amen? Something to revitalize. All right. Let's check out the next segment. So the segment opened with Vicky Guerrero. She had just bought some Daisy Dukes for Dolph Ziggler. Gave him a tool belt. She said she had Chavo tried to interrupt, and Chavo wanted some attention, and she just told Chavo he had a match, get out of here, go get ready for it. He didn't know anything about it, but he ran off. So she said she had a picture of herself and Dolph Ziggler that she needed hung on the wall. And so Dolph Ziggler was, amazingly, she gave him pants with a tool belt so that he could hang this picture, but the nail was already in the wall. He was just trying to straighten it. But of course, he had to climb up on the couch, stick his butt out. Vicky is telling him a little bit more to the left, a little bit more to the right, just so she could sit there and stare at his butt. So in the middle of this, Chris Masters walks in and goes, Vicky, I was thinking about the match. She looks at him, looks at Dolph Ziggler, sees Dolph Ziggler's butt, and then he just leaves, just walks out of the room. So at least that was interesting. But that was it. Then they cut down to the ring. JTG came down to the ring. And my first thought was, huh, this guy's still employed. Imagine that. And they went to a commercial, hyping, though, that Teddy Long is going to have to face Drew McIntyre later tonight, or, of course, he's fired. So, JTG's in Imagine Next. We'll see what happens. But at this point, really not excited about this episode of SmackDown. All right, so our next segment is JTG versus Chavo Guerrero. And, of course, Chavo Guerrero had no idea he was going to have to wrestle, so he comes down to the ring. As he's walking out, he's still putting his wrist tape on, trying to get his second wrist taped up in time. Comes down to the ring, claims he's not ready. He's not ready. Referee tries to pause for a minute. JTG kind of stands there to give him an opportunity to tighten up the laces on his boots or whatever. And Chavo takes that opportunity to attack. So the two of them have a match. Goes back and forth. JTG hits, I believe first he hits the mugshot. Gets a two count. Pops him back up. Ducks clothesline. Hits the shout out, I think it's called. Gets the pin on Chavo. And, you know, commentary just basically says, you know, Chavo claims he wasn't ready for this. And JTG says he was. And, so then JTG grabs some kids out of the ringside area, puts them in the ring. They all do his little, dance on the ropes thing, thrusting their crotch, which is great. You know, that's great for kids. That's what you want to have them doing. And then they showed another clip. First they had Kofi Kingston backstage doing an interview, talking about how he's going to retain his championship at Fatal 4-Way. Then they showed the video clip of Kofi Kingston winning the Intercontinental Championship, and then Drew McIntyre coming back with his letter from Vince McMahon, reinstating him, giving him back the title. You can tell by my enthusiasm how good this segment was. The match itself was nothing special. I mean, to be fair, there was nothing wrong with it, but there was nothing dynamic or exciting about it either. And the interview with Kofi was just your simple paint-by-numbers, play-by-the-book. I've been a fighter my whole life. I'm ready for a fight. I'm going to fight these guys at the pay-per-view and walk out of the fight as the champion. And then another recap trying to get us ready for Teddy Long versus Drew McIntyre, which is apparently up next, which is why I'm going to pause the show now. I'm going to refill my coffee. I'm going to check the news updates, check the headlines, see what's what breaking news is happening in the world. Hopefully there's a war somewhere in the Middle East. Middle East news is always good for finding a bomb or someone getting shot or something. And then I'll come back and I'll watch Teddy Long versus Drew McIntyre. Okay, so your barn burner of a story here. Drew McIntyre comes to the ring. They play Teddy Long's music. There's no Teddy Long. McIntyre calls out Teddy Long. Teddy Long comes down. Teddy Long, dressed in his full suit, says he doesn't want to fight. McIntyre tells him to think of his family. He says, I want you to get on your knees. Teddy Long won't do it. Reminds him of his family. Teddy Long does it. Tells him, I want you to say I'm the future of this company. Teddy Long won't do it. Tells him to think of his family. Teddy Long does it. I want you to lay down in the middle of this ring. Teddy Long won't do it. I want you to remind you of your family. Teddy Long does it. McIntyre had his own personal security force at ringside to make sure that nobody would come and interfere. So, of course, after he pins Teddy Long, he picks him up, goes to put him in the Future Shock DDT, and out comes Kofi Kingston. His security team grabs Kofi, holds him so that McIntyre can come out, beat him down. Matt Hardy comes jumping out of the crowd. Security grabs him so that McIntyre can beat him down. And so then they, you know, have McIntyre take each guy into the ring, hit him with the Future Shock DDT, and celebrate. And that was your great payoff to this long, ongoing story of Teddy Long versus Drew McIntyre. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way, because now we can focus on the good stuff, like the Fatal 4-Way that's centered around the guy who's not in the match and the guy who was in the match but is now injured and has disappeared off TV. Good stuff on SmackDown, huh? Good stuff. Amazingly enough, the segment I've enjoyed the most so far, the women's match. I know what you're thinking. It's not because of that. They had Kelly Kelly versus Layla, Michelle McCool, Tiffany, both at ringside. The two of them had a match that was, it was fine. It was, for a women's match, you know, of course, there was nothing super dynamic, you know, no big power moves, no big super acrobatic X Division cruiserweight stuff, anything like that, obviously, but for a women's match, they had a solid match. They didn't mess anything up that I caught. Everything was fine. Michelle McCool got involved. Tiffany got involved. The two of them fought a little bit on the outside. Tiffany got kicked in the head. Kelly Kelly got the better of Layla, got the K2 honor for the pin. It was a non-title match, but everything played out fine. Everything worked. There were no mistakes, really, that made a difference. It was a fine match. I actually watched it, and I thought that was all right. That was all right. And then they had Jack Swagger do an interview in back. They said that basically, you know, he's not a number two guy. No one remembers who the silver is. Everyone only remembers the gold. And so therefore, you know, of course, he's going to win because he's a winner. He's the person you will never forget. Everyone's going to forget about Rey Mysterio. They're going to forget about CM Punk. They're going to forget about Big Show. But he's the guy that's going to go down in history. A goofy premise, sure, but he delivered it well. Everything came across fine. Too bad we had to get halfway through the show to get here, but hey, there's a segment I was all right with all the way around. So, there you go. Wow! Amazing! Another segment I was okay with. Not blown away by, but I was okay with. They had Vicky Guerrero come out. She announced that everybody needed to applaud for the greatest talent in the history of the WWE, the greatest person ever born on Earth, which I think, you know, Jesus might have something to say about that. But regardless, she called out Dolph Ziggler. They made their way down to the ring. Out came Chris Masters. The two of them had a match that was fine. It wasn't very long, but, you know, again, there was nothing wrong with it. It wasn't super dynamic. You know, you're chewing your fingernails. That's what I was going to say. Chewing your fingernails off in anticipation of what's going to happen next. It wasn't anything like that. But it was solid. It was fine. They didn't mess anything up. They had Drew McIntyre. Oh, God. Sorry about that. Dolph Ziggler tried to go for the sleeper, but, of course, Chris Masters broke out of it. He tried to go for the master lock, but Ziggler made it to the ropes. Ziggler ended up hitting the zigzag, got the clean pin, and celebrated with Vicky in the ring to end out the segment. So, Dolph Ziggler looked good. Chris Masters, it struck me, though, that Chris Masters sucks at selling. Early on in the match, when he's supposed to be selling, he absolutely sucks. He is terrible. But as far as the rest of the match goes, it was fine. And, you know, they did a good job. Chris Masters easily outpowers a guy like Dolph Ziggler, so they did a good job of Ziggler using the ropes, breaking out of the move, hitting him quick with a quick finisher like that. So, you know, all in all, I was fine with that match. That one worked for me. And, you know, the whole segment, Vicky Guerrero gets incredible heat. I always enjoy seeing her out there. So, you know, again, segment I was completely happy with there. So second half of the show so far, much better than the first half. And then up next is our tag team with the four guys in the four-way whose biggest storyline is, of course, that, Kane is beating them all up and Kane's not in the match. But hopefully, they've surprised me so far with the second half of the show. Hopefully this main event will just blow me away. Blow me away! Something I never thought I'd say about a Big Show match. But let's hope so. Let's hope so. It'll blow me away. Well, we got about a half hour's worth of video packages there. It felt like just forever. But eventually Rey Mysterio comes out, does his entrance. They go to commercial, come back. The rest of the guys come down. Basically, the match plays out with Rey Mysterio is in control until he goes for CM Punk's mask. They fight to the outside. Luke Gallows gets a hit in on Rey Mysterio. And then from there, the heels are in control until Rey is able to tag in Big Show. Big Show comes in, cleans house, is eventually taken down. He goes for a choke slam on Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger turns it into a DDT. So then Big Show tags in Rey Mysterio. Rey, fighting back, eventually gets put in a gut-rich power bomb by Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger lifts him up in the air, and Rey somehow turns it into some kind of, I don't even know what. He hooks the neck and drops him down backwards, gets the pin. It was kind of a goofy finish, but whatever, you know, it worked. And that was pretty much the whole match. And the whole match, you know, it went 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. But that was it. That was really all that happened in that match. So they kept it simple, which was fine because it was one of those matches where you didn't really know who was going to win. And as far as pulling out a winner, I don't know that it really mattered either, but it was, you knew it could happen at any time. So then of course it ends. Kane's music hits. He comes out. He, does a choke slam on Jack Swagger. He knocks Big Show off the apron. He does a choke slam on CM Punk, grabs Rey Mysterio, hits him with a tombstone. He grabs a microphone, says that one of these four guys is already in hell and doesn't know it yet, but at the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view, he will have his revenge. And Todd Grisham, throughout this whole thing, kept saying that Kane seeks vengeance, and I could have sworn he said Kane seeks midgets. Which, to me, would have been a much better storyline. Like, if there had been a group of midgets, like, if they'd done, like Phantasm. You know how Undertaker always has those dudes in the cloaks? If they had midgets in cloaks, like Phantasm, come out, and they were the ones responsible for destroying the Undertaker, and so Kane had to fight his way through an army of cloaked midgets, I'd be buying this pay-per-view for other people. I would just say, if you're a wrestling fan, you would have to have this pay-per-view. I would start a fund to buy this pay-per-view for people who normally can't afford pay-per-views to see Kane working his way through Phantasm midgets. But, unfortunately, it's not what we had. Instead, Kane looked to the stage where a coffin, an empty coffin, was set up and opened. And he did his down on one knee like Undertaker does. And they needed to fill time, and it felt like 2 minutes that they just sat there with Kane on one knee looking at this empty coffin on the stage, and they got a shot of the coffin, and they got a shot of Kane, and they got a shot of the coffin from another angle, and they got a shot of Kane from another angle, and they got another shot of the coffin from far away, and they got a shot of Kane over Kane's shoulder looking at the coffin, and another shot of Kane, another shot of the coffin, another shot of the coffin, another shot of Kane. And then the show was over. So, for all of you wondering, what's the big draw? What's the go-home on SmackDown to entice you to buy this pay-per-view? What are they doing to draw you in and make you want to see this pay-per-view? What's going to make you want to pay $49.95 to see this pay-per-view? It is, in fact, that Kane is going to apparently destroy somebody because they destroyed The Undertaker, and Kane is not involved in the match. SmackDown, there you go. So, if that entices you, then by all means, watch the show tonight. But really, this is a missable episode of SmackDown. I hate to say it, but it's true. Alright guys, well that's going to do it for today. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out the other podcasts. I think we've got a weigh-in coming in Saturday night or Sunday. So you can look forward to that. Of course, new episode of That New Toy Smell going up tonight. Already today, we had the Comics Corner. We had Comic Nation TV. Both of those went up as well. So lots of comic news hit the last couple days. We had some big toy news Thursday night, last night, that came down. So make sure you check out all that stuff. And, of course, Masters of the Universe Chronicles coming this weekend. And I'm not sure exactly if I'm going to do a wrestling radio for Fatal 4-Way. It's just going to, again, depend on how good the show is. There are some things about this pay-per-view that entice me, that make me think it's going to be worth talking about. But I guess just the big way to find out is about lunchtime on Monday. If you see a podcast, that means something big happened at the pay-per-view. If you do not, then you've got your answer. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.